from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. California's court-appointed prison healthcare receiver has issued layoff warnings to 2,200 people, from doctors to custodians around the state. The state typically issues three warnings for every position it ultimately cuts, so it's not clear how many people will actually lose their jobs next year. But realignment has shrunk the state's prison population in a big way, and the Sacramento Bee reports state officials are keen to trim the payroll in a big way as soon as a federal judge allows the state to regain control of the prison healthcare system. About 8 million low-income Californians rely on Medi-Cal. The federal government wants to expand the program as part of healthcare reform and has offered to pick up most of the tab at first. But as KPCC's Julie Small reports, the Brown administration is balking at the idea of welcoming another 1.5 million people into California's safety net insurance program.
At a recent symposium on healthcare reform, California's Secretary of Health and Human Services, Diana Dooley, said there's a risk in taking on too much too fast.
I don't want to be on the hook for promising things that we can't deliver. So if we disappoint early because we didn't go as far as people want, it's because we have to build this on a solid foundation and be ready to make it real over the long term.
The federal government will pay 100% of any cost increase for Medi-Cal expansion, but just for 3 years. After that, California will have to pay 10% of the increase. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates Medi-Cal expansion could cost the state more than $6 billion within the next decade. The federal government has given states the option of offering lesser coverage to the new pool of recipients. The Brown administration is considering that option. That frustrates Vanessa Kahina with the Western Center on Law and Poverty.
We want to provide coverage for people that they can afford and that's accessible. And still having the question open is disconcerting at this point.
Democratic lawmakers agree. San Gabriel Valley Senator Ed Hernandez, a former optometrist who chairs the Senate Health Committee, told advocates at the symposium he's pushing to get California to offer the maximum benefits to the new group of people who qualify for Medi-Cal.
I have every intention to make sure that every single person has the fullest amount of benefits available and draw down as many federal dollars as we possibly can.
Hernandez thinks California should also raise the rates the state pays providers for treating Medi-Cal patients. California ranks 47th in the nation for the lowest rates, so low that many physicians refuse to participate. Democrats also want to reinstate some benefits cut in recent years, like dental coverage for adults. Patients can now get covered for a tooth extraction, but not for dentures. Assemblywoman Holly Mitchell said that's just not right.
You know, Health and Human Services has been the stepchild of the budget process forever.
Mitchell said Democrats, who gained a two-thirds majority in both houses in the November election, should use their power to clean up the mess.
What are actions that we took that we know are wrong, that are harming Californians, that we can begin to reverse? Not raise the lid off the box and make everybody nervous, but some areas where we can investigate in California.
Republicans say they could support restoration of some benefits and an increase to the state's reimbursement rate for Medi-Cal providers. But they say they'd only support those kind of changes if lawmakers rein in Medi-Cal's administrative costs. The governor will propose a plan for Medi-Cal expansion as part of his January budget. That's when he's also expected to call lawmakers into a special session on health care reform. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Lake Tahoe is famous for its clear, cobalt-blue waters. That's what draws skiers, hikers, and holidaymakers from across the world. But for the last half century, there's been fierce disagreement between those who want to further develop the land around the lake and those who want to protect the ecosystem. Yesterday, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency adopted the first update to its development plan in 25 years. KQED science reporter Molly Samuel has the details.
Developers and environmental groups have been fighting over the future of the lake for nearly a decade. Julie Reagan with the planning agency says the update is long needed.
We were created, my agency, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, essentially to stop runaway growth. And we succeeded. But the rules that we put in place in the late 80s were so successful that they actually kept people from upgrading their properties in some instances.
The new plan includes provisions to ease the permit process for property owners to make improvements and to improve water quality. Some areas, like Kings Beach, could be developed more densely, and in South Lake Tahoe, developers would be allowed to put up more casino-sized buildings. Laurel Ames of the Tahoe Area Sierra Club says the plan has good points, but will not benefit the lake the way supporters say it will.
The water quality will not be improved, and there will be much taller buildings.
The planning agency's governing board voted 12-1 to pass it, with one board member abstaining. Most of the updates will take effect in 60 days. For the California Report, I'm Molly Samuel.
And now, here's another in our occasional series on people who volunteer in California called The Giving State. Today, we meet an emotional management coach near Santa Cruz who helps recent prison inmates reintegrate into society.
My name is Mariah Miller, and I teach relapse prevention and emotional management for GEMA. Women who are in jail and get out of jail very often go back into the same situation, and within relatively short time end up back in jail. It's a cycle.
I'd like to invite first group to explain
the stories that I'm hearing from these women. It shows me a whole different part of life that I would have never known about. And, you know, some of these experiences are incredibly hard and painful to hear and to witness.
Okay, for triggers, we have lack of motivation, anxiety, fear, memories.
Every once in a while something happens that makes you wonder, well, why am I really continuing to do this, right? Because you don't always see immediate results. And not too long ago, there was an experience where one of the women unfortunately overdosed, and that was a really, really hard thing. I came back to the group and I said, okay, you know, I've been doing this for a while. Is this really helping you? And one of the women came up that hadn't spoken. Although I thought that she had not been paying a lot of attention, she was the one who came to me and said, I feel great. I haven't felt this great in forever.
Mariah Miller was interviewed by our former intern Chelsea Hawkins. You can listen to this profile again and hear other profiles online at californiareport.org/givingstate. That's the California Report for Thursday, December 13th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.